Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I got to talk about Bryce Harper at some point. I don't know when that's going to be. We'll figure it out. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. I have a feeling many of you are going to want that after I go through this. These are the Knicks from a piece that I wrote on thefantasy.com. You can go and tell you what. I'm going to go and click on my own piece right now and tweet out the link so all of you can have it. Let's see. If we go to there right now, am I still on the stack? Oh, no, I've been booted from the stack. What if we go to thefandc.com/Redskins? By the way, apropos of all of that, I'm Craig Hoffman. This is Overtime on The Fan. Day job, Redskins beat reporter. Off season, hey, here we are doing radio shows. Hoffman, draft a QB in the first round or not at all? Hey, that's me. Go to Twitter where you can follow me at Craig Hoffman. Talking about this piece right now on 106.7 The Fan. Now, trying to put together a statistical analysis of starting quarterbacks in the NFL on February 20th when I did this was a little difficult because some teams have a plan in 2019 and some teams are still up in the air. So what I essentially did was this. If their starting quarterback is healthy next year, and they're on the roster, that's the guy. So, by the way, that's significant because Alex Smith then becomes the Redskins starter. If he's healthy, he's starting. By the rules that I'm setting in this process, Alex Smith is the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins next year. Do we all understand that that's highly unlikely to be the case? Yes. However, we're going to use Smith for the sake of this particular exercise. Now, there are three teams who don't really have a clear-cut starter, even less clear-cut than the Redskins in that way that I just described. So we're going to use their starter from last year because that player is still on the roster at least until 10 days from now when the new league year starts. Those teams are Jacksonville, Blake Bortles, Miami, Ryan Tannehill, and I think Cincinnati, Andy Dalton could be in that same exact scenario, which leaves us with the following 32 quarterbacks drafted in the following rounds. Then we get to the conclusion. Then we get to the analysis. Then we get to your phone calls. And I did this by division, so follow along here. Washington, Smith, round one. Round one, pick one, by the way. Dallas, Dak Prescott. He was a fourth rounder. Eli Manning, Giants, first rounder. Philadelphia, Wentz, first. NFC South, Carolina, Newton, one. Atlanta, Ryan, one. Tampa is already committed to Jameis Winston. He was a first rounder. Again, one overall. New Orleans, Drew Brees, second round pick way back when for the San Diego Chargers. NFC West, Rams, Goff, one. San Francisco, Garoppolo, two. Wilson, third for Seattle, Arizona, currently Josh Rosen, that he was a first. Green Bay, Rodgers, first. Chicago, Trubisky, first. Stafford for Detroit, first. Minnesota has Cousins, well documented, he's a fourth. Speaking of New England, Brady, sixth. Then we get on a nice little stretch of first-rounders. The following were all first-rounders. Jets, Darnold, Buffalo, Josh Allen, Miami, Ryan Tannehill. The entire AFC South, all first-round starting quarterbacks, at least by this exercise. Jacksonville, Bortles, Indianapolis, Luck, Tennessee, Mariota, Houston, Watson. Kansas City took Mahomes. Chargers have Rivers way back when, but a first-rounder. Oakland, currently Derek Carr. He's a second. Denver's got Flacco now. He's a first. Baltimore now has Lamar Jackson. He's a first. Cincinnati, Dalton, second. Roethlisberger and Mayfield. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, 1-1. In summary, that is 24 of the current NFL starters were as first-round picks. That's how they were taken. Four were second-rounders. You had one-third, that was Russell Wilson. Two-fourths, Prescott Cousins. No fifths, one-sixth, Tuami. Seventh, zero, no undrafted free agents. Even if we would like to say we're going to replace Bortles and who else do we want to replace? Let's take out Tannehill since he's a first. Bortles and Tannehill, replace him with Foles, who is a third, and Keenum, who is undrafted. Assuming that no team that needs a quarterback drafts one in the first round that currently doesn't have a first rounder in place, aka Washington, if they draft Kyler Murray, these numbers don't change. You're still looking at 22 first rounders, 26 overall first and second rounders, and six players taken outside of the first two rounds. That's insane. And I'm going to do some follow-up homework, and there's two follow-up projects I want to do that are completely data-driven. And before I get into my conclusions, I would like to take your tweets at Craig Hoffman, CraigHoffman. And I would also love, even more than that, because me reading tweets is not as fun as me taking phone calls, and it's not as good at radio either. Maybe I'll have Vic read all the tweets. 806, nope, never mind, Vic can't read. 800-636-1067. I'm just kidding. Vic's a wonderful reader. 800-636-1067.
Sorry I didn't go to Syracuse.
Where did you go to school?
I just went to a community college.
They give you a degree?
Yeah.
You know what you're not in like I am?
What?
Debt.
Okay.
So you kind of win in that regard, don't you?
I'll take that.
All right. And I'd hope that I learned how to read before I got to Cuse, but you know. 800-636, the South Carolina Public Schools, man. 800-636-1067. I have conclusions that I have made, but I would like to hear yours first based off that data. And then I will tell you now, the two follow-up projects I would like to do is, what's the hit rate in the last decade on first-round picks, and specifically on first-round picks in the top half of the first round versus the bottom half of the first round, where guys like Tebow have gone. And also, let's pick a five-year stretch, 2000 to 2005, right? How many of the quarterbacks in those years were first-rounders? Has the dynamic changed? I haven't been able to dive that deep into the data yet. But knowing that where we currently stand in the NFL is that you basically have to get a first-round guy or else, what does that mean to you in terms of what the Redskins do coming up in either free agency or the NFL draft? Does it change the way you think about resource allocation? Everyone's favorite topic. 800-636-1067. My conclusions and hopefully lots of yours next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Vic, sometimes Friday nights suck.
I mean, it's the worst.
The segment I just did from 8:03 to 8:14. If I did that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a day that I was in for Dukes, how many hours? If I did it at 3:30, would we have full phone lines till 6?
I don't know. I don't think so. On a Friday?
No, not on a Friday. Like,
on a standard day.
Like, let's go like a Tuesday in the middle of football season.
I'd say you have at least 6 to 7 calls, you know, for every segment.
I'm saying, like, the segment I just did.
Right.
With that kind of information, that kind of breakdown, that kind of, hey, here's the information that all of you want to know. Now, you tell me what you want to do with it, and we'll spar a little bit. You know what I got?
Zippy on the phone lines. Yep.
Zilch. Yes, if this was between 6 and 10 a.m., we would say Zippy.
I mean, it's my job to screen calls, and I'm not getting any calls to screen.
Vic's bored. Call us. Why didn't I think of that earlier?
By the way, I am putting up the podcast, so if you want to re-listen to this in
later.
A couple of hours, by all means.
And then
they'll end up calling
during the
podcast.
Yeah, that's not really how this works. I wonder how many people do that. They're listening to a podcast, and they're like, oh, I'm going to call in. You know, it does happen, though. You get the Junkies replay on NBCSN, and Dukes gets phone calls about what the Junkies are talking about.
Sometimes during overtime, we also get calls from the Junkies, and they end up calling in. Yeah, we'll take your phone call.
Do that to Chad and Russell. They love it. You guys can skip that bit with me.
We also had a call during Chad Dukes' show last week. Someone was watching on YouTube, and they're like, oh, I have to call in. I was like, how are you watching us on YouTube? And like, I was looking at the 106.7 The Fan Junkies thing. Like, because 106.7 The Fan, we also post videos on YouTube.
Right.
And for some reason, someone thought we were live with that video on YouTube.
Here's a hint. At least for the interwebs portion. On television, this doesn't exactly work. If you're watching on the internet and you can fast forward, it's
probably
not live. It's not live. Oh, I made a funny. We had a phone call. I made a funny that was so funny that Vic turned off his mic, so I lost the nat sound of the laughter. And as he turned his head for 0.47 seconds, the call hung up. It's going to be that kind of night, huh?
Hey, we only got an hour and a half left to go.
It's all right. We got plenty of content. You don't know what I can do? Because there are people listening. They say like 10% of people listening call in. So that's all right. It's Friday night. Y'all are out on your way to somewhere. Got things to do. Not in a talky-talky kind of mood. That's fine. I can talk. It's just the less that you call, the more I talk with Vic.
Oh, no.
So if you're listening and you're like, this is terrible, you did this to yourself.
So let's just blame the listeners.
Yeah.
All right.
It's the blame the listener game. That's a really popular game in radio if you want ratings. No, I am curious, though. Like, you're a Redskins fan. You heard the data. Like, what was your quarterback plan going into the offseason?
Mine was to actually get a free agent quarterback.
To find a bargain somewhere?
Yes. And then you draft if the best available. That way you can groom him for the second year down. So for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco honestly was one of my options that I would have preferred. But I don't know if he would have liked it here.
So here's the problem with Flacco. And this is reporting here. I know this to be true based off a conversation I had with someone about Flacco. That dude wasn't taking a pay cut. So in order for Flacco to, like, there was a way Flacco came here. It involved him taking a pay cut and renegotiating to a smaller cap number. He was not willing to do that. He would like his money, and then he would like to be free to choose where he goes next. And so Flacco was never going to be, it's not a bad thought, but the things that would have had to happen for Joe Flacco to be here were not happening, and thus he was never a real option, and thus the report out of Denver that the Redskins were pushing the Broncos, and that's what ultimately made the Broncos pull the trigger, I can't say it's categorically 100% not true, and I'm not saying that because I know it to be, like, oh, I know, but I can't say, like, I haven't talked to every person in the Redskins organization that could have a real pull in making that kind of decision, but I talked to enough people with knowledge of the situation to say, Flacco to the Washington Redskins was never a real thing that was anywhere close to happening with 95% to 98% certainty. So I'm with you, Vic. I would like to see them take a run at a first-round guy if there's one they like. And if not, they better not waste that pick. Like, you don't just take the next quarterback. And I think entering the draft with any idea of what you're going to do is silly. Like, you have a board that you follow, which is smart. Hey, we've got needs, and we have these really talented players, and if there's a player that's so overwhelmingly talented that it's not at a position of need, then we'll take him. If not, we kind of rank based a little bit on need, but really best available. Like, that's how every team does it. They find a balance, right? And so if you've decided that the defensive end on your board is better than is worthwhile more than the quarterback that's right behind him on your board, you've made that decision for a reason. It's like, it's probably because you don't really like the quarterback that much. So don't take him. Don't force it. But if you like Daniel Jones or Drew Locke or Kyler Murray and they're available, then bleep and take him. But I also think that in free agency, if Teddy Bridgewater becomes available for a palatable number, then you should go after him. Case Keenum, palatable? Sure. But the idea that you're going to bring in and spend real money on another stopgap guy when you already have McCoy as a stopgap is kind of crazy to me. That's what I do with that information. 800-636-1067 is our phone number. We also have Twitter accounts. I am at Craig Hoffman. You can get me there. Let's go to Doug. Doug's listening. Doug, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
Hey there, Craig. Hey, I'm a pizza delivery guy, so I've been listening to you all night. And I know you feel bad that no one's calling, so I just called to say hey.
Hey, Doug. Doug, are you, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this. Doug, who do you deliver for?
I deliver for Pizza Hut.
All right. It's a Hut kind of night. Everybody order pizza. I don't think I'm
there
actually.
There you go. Hey, we're
that.
The official pizza of the NFL. So
there you go.
So my opinion ought to count for something, right?
There you go. Doug, I'm going to not let you say any opinions on the NFL so you don't get fired, but just know I appreciate you. Thank you for calling, Doug. Do with that information of where Doug delivers with whatever you like. Am I safe from payola and plugola? I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm just giving them free advertising.
I wouldn't push it, though.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. Let's go to Matt in Culpeper. Matt, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, I just thought I'd call up and see if the Redskins would ever consider, you know, keeping a close eye on the AAF and any of their quarterbacks. The John Wolford, the Arizona Hotshots, has been looking pretty good. And I was just wondering if they would ever take someone that's playing now and take them into the league.
That is actually an awesome call. And the answer is yes, 100%. And technically speaking, they already have, because that's where Josh Johnson came from. And I think Johnson getting back in the league is a possibility with the Redskins. You know, he obviously knows the system. I think that could be a play. But there's a lot of guys who have been around the NFL. And all of a sudden, if they have a chance to get game reps, like maybe, and this was the Josh Johnson kind of thing. Josh Johnson's a bad practice player because the things that make him kind of special in whatever way that you deem Josh Johnson special don't show up in practice. A quarterback running around in practice does nothing but screw up your practice. A quarterback running around in a game helps you win football games like the Redskins did in Jacksonville with Josh Johnson. So you have a guy like Dustin Vaughn who was with the Cowboys, never really got to play. Garrett Gilbert played with Carolina, like Trevor Knight, who was at Texas A&M of Katy Perry College Game Day fame. He was with the Cardinals last. Like, there's a lot of guys that kind of were in and around the NFL that failed out. Look, Christian Hackenberg ain't going to be your guy. That's one of the all-time quarterback busts at this point. I can't believe how bad he was and how bad he still is. But there are definitely guys in the AAF that are going to get looks in the NFL. And that's, by the way, exactly what the Alliance of American Football wants. All right, we actually do have some calls. 800-636-1067. I just knew we had to be patient and kind of maybe poke fun at Vic a little bit. Vic, I appreciate you taking one for the team as you're now very, very busy screening calls. And we're going to answer those phone calls next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Greg Hoffman with you. It's overtime on The Fan, talking about the Redskins quarterback situation. Did a piece for thefantasy.com on the number of quarterbacks that are currently starters in the NFL that were drafted and where they were drafted. 24 of the 32 first round picks, 28 first and second. So that math, carry the one, that's 4 second rounders and a total of 6 outside of the top 2 rounds, including, by the way, Tom Brady, who was drafted in 1942. 800-636-1067. My question is, what do you do with that data and really anything else quarterback related? As I'm headed to the combine next week, hopefully going to be able to get into Lucas Oil Stadium and see the quarterbacks throw. There are select spots for media members. I have requested one. I did not hear back yet. So stay tuned for that. Let's go to Frank in Great Falls. Frank, thanks for holding through the break. You're on The Fan.
So I think you're onto something. I've noticed two things in the last 20 or 30 years that they've gotten remarkably better about forecasting: the weather and the skill of a quarterback as it projects into the NFL as they draft. So they're getting better, and I think it's year dependent too, and that some years have better and deeper quarterback drafts. This one seems to be shallow. Do you think there's anybody deeper than Murray that could start for him, or do you think they're going to have to look outside?
Frank, thanks for the call. I will answer your question. Then you touched on another point that I really wanted to get to that I did make in the piece that I want to expound upon here. First, I think Murray's the second best prospect in this draft, or like the consensus is that Murray's the second best prospect. I'm not convinced that he's not the best prospect. That if he was 5'10 instead of 5'9 three quarters and 210 pounds instead of 200, that he's not overwhelmingly seen as the best quarterback. Like, everyone I've talked to that's watched tape of him so far is blown away. They're like, the tape's better than Baker Mayfield, who was the number one pick. That I saw that earlier today from, I think this was a reporter talking to an NFL source. I've talked to a couple people directly who I trust to evaluate quarterbacks, and they are really impressed with Kyler Murray. He makes all the throws. He can make them. And when I say all the throws, like, we're talking the Mahomes category. Maybe doesn't make the, in terms of the velocity on some of those, but like all the off platform, crazy, like arm angle stuff, Murray does all of that. His deep ball's great. He's going to run a 4.4 or better. Like, there's a lot to like about Kyler Murray. Haskins is a great arm. He's more of a pocket guy. Doesn't run around at all, but has a little pocket mobility. Like, I've started to watch a little bit of these guys and read more reading than watching. I'll get into my watching after the combine, after I get a chance to talk to some more people around the league and have a little bit more idea of what to look for. But then I think there's a fall off. Drew Lock isn't that impressive to me, even though he's got a ton of talent. Jared Stidham and Drew Lock are not that different in terms of their scouting reports. And Stidham's going to be a third to fourth round guy, and Locke's going to go in the first. Super talented. Sometimes look like the best quarterback you've ever seen. The next 5 throws will be like they were a shotgun spray. I'm not really interested in that guy. I will say I talked to Drew Lock very briefly and in Mobile, and I liked the kid a lot. I hope he succeeds. I hope that the more I watch him, the more I like him, and I can separate him from a guy like Jared Stidham. But, like, he's in the I'm scared to draft him because he's going to get me fired camp right now. Same thing for Daniel Jones. A lot of people I talk to really like Daniel Jones. I don't love Daniel Jones. I don't think he's that special. And to me, if I'm drafting a quarterback in the first round, I'd like him to be special. But ultimately, what the Redskins need to do in a quote-unquote bad quarterback class is just be right, then who cares? Because if you take Kyler Murray and Haskins is a bust and Locke is a bust and Jones is a decade-long backup who never is a quality starter in this league, and who knows who else could potentially work their way up. And no, like, you got the only guy in the class who turned out to be anything. Then who cares? Who cares if it was a good class or not? And by the way, the same is true in reverse. 2012 produced a number of starting quarterbacks, and it looked like for the first year, the Redskins may have gotten the best of all of them. And then they didn't. Would you rather have Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, or Robert Griffin III? Well, Wilson and Luck still play for the teams that drafted them. Robert Griffin, well, he's close to playing for a team that drafted him, but only because Baltimore happens to be up I-95. That was a quote-unquote good year, not for the Redskins. So the idea that it's a good or bad class is very overrated. Yes, it means there are more chances that you get a good player. I understand how that math works. But you don't have to draft the whole class. You just have to draft the right guy in the class. There's also this other thing that got tweeted to me by Kevin, again, at Craig Hoffman, C-R-A-I-G-H-O-F-F-M-A-N. My hot take, always a good way to start a tweet. Don't draft a QB this year. The team is dead and there's no sense in drafting a rookie who will only lose a year when Gruden is fired. Invest in other positions to build up a foundation so that the new coaching regime and ideally new GM has something to work with. Kevin, this is a wonderful idea that no one's ever thought of before. Thanks for bringing it to Twitter. Okay, I should stop being snarky because this is actually something a lot of people are saying. The reality is that's not the worst idea, except for if Jay Gruden was going to get fired, they would have already fired him. You don't ever enter any season going, this is the last year for this guy. Unless he's Belichick and he said he's retiring after the season. You can't prepare for failure. You have to prepare to try to succeed. Because the people making the decisions are the ones trying to succeed. Like, Jake Gruden has a huge influence on who they draft because he's the head coach. And by the way, Bruce Allen is going to be on an equally hot seat if they're failing. And he's the one who ultimately is pulling the trigger. So unless you want Dan Snyder making the pick and evaluating the quarterback, your plan doesn't work. Or evaluating other, dictating, dude. I mean, I guess that technically could happen. Snyder could tell Bruce, do not take a quarterback. At which point, Bruce should quit. And Jay should quit in the middle of the draft. Hey, we're gonna take Locke. We really like him. No, you're not allowed to take a quarterback. All right, Dan. Well, you tell, here's the phone. You call New York and you tell them who to write on the card because we quit. This is not how the league works. So, yes, I understand your quote unquote hot take, but it's just like you're much better off getting that thought out of your head because it's just not going to happen. 800-636-1067. You can give me a call on any of the quarterback stuff, and we'll talk about it. If not, we'll do other things next on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. We'll be right back.
Vic, I got like 7 half segment ideas in my head.
All right.
I don't know what any. I don't know if we have an actual segment here. I would say you need to be on standby, sir.
Standby it is.
All right. Greg Hoffman with you on the Fan.
We can always talk about the Caps.
We could actually. You want to know what? That's a great idea. They made a trade today, and they made another one earlier in the week. Haglin,
yeah.
And then they traded Bowie. Is it Bowie or Bowie?
Bowie.
Bowie. Not my problem anymore.
It's Detroit's problem.
Yeah. So they let Grubauer go in the offseason, thinking that this Bowie cat was ready to back up the starting goaltender, whose name, embarrassingly, is escaping me.
Wait, what?
Yeah. This is happening live on the radio right now.
You said Bowie and goalie?
No. Yeah. Madison Bowie's.
He's a defender.
Who am I thinking of? That's the. Oh, Copley's the goalie.
Yes.
I've been locked into other stuff.
I can tell.
This is like you. This is what we should do. We should create a quiz. That's really bad. I did a lot of cap stuff last spring. And there's a thing that happened in my brain during football season in which everything got erased. Real bad. So Bowie was a defenseman. Still is a defenseman, just not the Caps defenseman. Give me the skinny on this trade, then we'll go to Haglin.
Well, Nick Jensen, I don't know much about him, but I know he logs a lot of ice time. He's a right-handed shot, and he's a veteran defenseman. He's got some great speed, and he will fit perfectly as far as the top four, or at least top five in the defense. And they signed him to a 4-year, $10 million extension, so you know he's not going anywhere.
That's good.
Yes, so I think this is a tremendous trade that the Capitals made. And in Carl Haglin, this guy's got amazing speed, and let's just say he's a Capitals killer. He's played the Capitals in about 6 out of the last 7 playoff series.
Because he played for Pittsburgh.
For Pittsburgh. He also played for the New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. He's well familiar with the Metro Division. Even during his interview today, he was talking about, you know, he's more of an Eastern Conference guy. It fits the style of Eastern Conference because coming from L.A., he wasn't playing their style. And I think he only scored about 4 goals. But coming to the Capitals could be kind of a rejuvenation for him. So win-win on both trades for the Caps.
Okay. There's your analysis from Capitals producer Vic Ferreira, which is better than analysis from me, who can't even remember the bleeping players because he covers another team and then has a lot of NBA knowledge randomly rumbling around my mind brain. So that was good stuff, Vic. Enjoyed that. By the way, the basketball team right now is trying to make a run. Wesley Johnson from the Cuse just missed a layup. That would have cut the lead to 5. It is now 7 and still 7 after Miles Bridges missed a layup on the other end. By the way, here's a random thought. Dwight Howard's on the way to coming back. Do we even know what number he's wearing for the Wizards? Because I looked up a minute ago. I was like, wait, he's not supposed to be back yet. But that's Jabari Parker wearing 12.
I don't know. It's a good question.
These are questions. Get Ashu on the phone. Only half kidding. He's at NBC Sports Washington right now.
He's probably getting ready for Wizards Outsiders.
Just call him and see if he picks up.
All right.
You have his number, right?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Actually,
good.
No, I don't.
You don't have...
I don't have Nick Ashew's number.
Is there a reason I should not give it to you? Is this a thing that I'm going to regret? Is Nick going to get mad at me?
I don't think so, but I've only direct messaged him a bunch of times, but I have not... I don't have his number.
That is hilarious. This is, by the way, Marconi winning radio right now. I was asked a really dumb question by a friend of mine not very long ago. So I'm not gonna put her on complete blast, but it is my birthday tomorrow, which is fun.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
How old are you?
I will be 29.
My gosh.
And my birthday present to you on my birthday is, here's Nick Ashew's phone number. That's really not how that's supposed to work, but you have it now. So call Ashew. Tell him I have a very important Wizards question to ask him.
All right.
Live on the radio. But she was supposed to, we're having a nice little get together with some friends. She was going to come, and now she's like, I can't. I'm really sorry. One of my best friends is having a thing she's been planning for months, and I can't back out, but I'll make it up to you. And I was like, okay, fine, like, I understand. And Just like, you tell me what you want to do to make it up. Like, we can go grab brunch or something. And she asked me if I liked brunch. I just told you I'm 29 years old. Also, I'm a human being. Are there humans that exist that don't like brunch? Vic?
I have brunch every Sunday.
Why wouldn't you?
It's the best.
And my response was, it involves breakfast food. Of course I like brunch. Like, the thought that there are people that... Now, I understand if you don't want to be part of the brunch scene. Like, brunch can get expensive. Like, there are things in principle to not like about brunch. But the idea of not liking brunch, because you can home make it and do it cost efficient. Like, if that's your thing. But the idea that, like, brunch, oh, yeah, I hate that. I hate sleeping in and eating delicious food. What kind of monster are you? What happened when you called Ashu?
Oh, he didn't pick up.
Call him again. I'm going to talk to Sean in Arlington real quick.
Okay.
You're going to call Ashu one more time. And if he doesn't pick up, then he's not my friend anymore. Sean's in Arlington. Sean, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Craig, how are you?
Great.
Very good to hear your voice on the radio. I think you do a great job covering the Redskins. So,
thank you.
We should see you get a time spot here at night. I heard you mention briefly right before I called, I guess, was the topic of the Capitals when you said it was a good idea to talk about the Capitals.
Yeah, and then it turned out that it wasn't a good idea for me to talk about the Capitals, but that's okay.
Well, who said this?
Oh, my attempt to talk about them went poorly. I punted to Vic. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't think it's that bad of an idea, especially since today was probably one of the busiest days they've had of the year. So a couple of things to touch on. I really wish every single GM that we have in this area, well, I shouldn't say every single, but I really wish specifically the GM of the football team and the GM of the basketball team would try and kind of emulate the way Brian McClellan does his business and how he operates his brand, frankly. I mean, think about what the guy did. I mean, he turned a couple draft picks and really not much into a guy like Nick Jensen, who they've committed another 4 years to after this year. Clearly, there was a guy that they were targeting and that they were trying to get via, you know, elsewhere. But now that he's here, they've signed into a 4-year extension and $10 million, relatively cheap for a guy who is deemed to have a pretty big upside. And what is there not to like about Carl Hagelin? The guy's I think every single nightmare I have of a Capitals fan it involves Carl Hagelin in some way, shape, or form, whether it's as a Pittsburgh Penguin or a New York Ranger. So I'm really glad to have that guy on my team. I know his production hasn't been there the last couple of years, but the guy does seem to turn it on come playoff time. And anytime you can, you know, had a guy like that on your bottom six, you know, playing your penalty kill minutes and, you know, clutch guy who's won a couple Stanley Cups, I mean, I'll take that any day of the week. So I really don't see anything wrong with anything that they've done. In fact, I think I don't even know if they're frankly done yet. I would love to see them try and emulate Jensen into this pairings full time, whether it means personally, I feel like Warpick should be the one that gets set now over Juice. But either way, I think he's one of those guys that's going to be here next year, obviously, for the long term.
Yeah, with the extension. Absolutely. Sean, I got to cut you off. I appreciate the call. Really clearly passionate about the Capitals, which I don't know, because I was being goofy earlier. I feel like people are going to be like, wow, what a jerk. But, like, I've got Eric Edholm calling in a few minutes, and so I can't go too late. That was really good cap stuff. Vic, you had really good cap stuff. And I will say this about the larger point that he made at the beginning of that call of, I wish the other GMs would act like Brian McClellan. Brian McClellan's really good at mastering his domain, right? The NHL has a CBA. The NFL has a CBA. The NBA has a CBA. Major League Baseball has a CBA. They all have different places you can exploit if you're good at your job. Ultimately, talent evaluation is going to be the number one skill for any GM. And then the ability to allocate your resources. But what Brian McClellan's been awesome at in some of these young players and the deals they've given them at the right times to be able to keep some of the young players, acquire a player like this. In Jensen, like, he's really good at the NHL system and knowing what he can give up to get and continually be competitive. The Redskins traded for a 34-year-old and gave him a 4-year extension. That's not even going to the broken leg thing. Like, that part sucks. And look, they were 6-3. Like, there's arguments to be made that there was, like, it's not the world's dumbest deal. But is Brian McClellan making the equivalent deal for the Capitals? Props not. Props not. Also, brunch is great. Eric Edholm next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.